But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with whatever the fuck that was at Quantico in Virginia. Move on to all the latest government shutdown drama and follow all of that up with a bit of where the fuck are the Epstein files? Let's begin, shall we? This timeline sucks. We have grumpy old Biff, who not only got the sports almanac, but is way past his expiration date and yet still being propped up in the Oval Office like any day is Weekend at Bernie's. A fact that the governor of Illinois pointed out recently in front of cameras. Well, the governor ain't wrong. Right now, we have a 79-year-old cruster running the United States who not only has trouble walking upstairs, but needs assistance walking down a ramp. And if you think our problems don't end with mobility issues, think again. Because old man Donald is apparently no different than that crazy uncle you hate inviting over for Thanksgiving, because all he does is react to whatever Fox Not a News channel is complaining about now. Case in point, the reason why the commander in cognitive decline decided to invade Portland, Oregon in the first place.
This morning, President Trump declares he's deploying troops to Portland, Oregon, posting, "I'm directing Secretary of War Pete Hegseth to provide all necessary troops to protect war-ravaged Portland."
Several days later,
in an interview with NBC on Sunday morning, he said a phone call with Governor Kotek showed him a different perspective, saying, "I spoke to the governor. She was very nice. But I said, well, wait a minute. Am I watching things on television that are different from what's happening? My people tell me different. They are literally attacking and there are fires all over the place."
Okay, that is fucking terrifying for a lot of reasons. But one simple one is this old and rotting gourd we call presidents is literally breaking the law by deploying the military on American soil used against her own citizens. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Posse Comitatus. And all because he saw some doctored footage of the actually peaceful Portland ICE protest back in August on an episode of He Wishes Fox Were His Friends. Or how about that time Von Schützenpants got all giddy at the idea of foreign generals coming to the meeting every single U.S. military general had to attend thanks to the idiotic planning of the former Fox host and current alcoholic running the newly crowned Department of War, Pete Kegsbreath.
Okay, yeah, please.
Secretary Hegseth is inviting military leaders from all around the country on Tuesday. Will you also be there?
From all around the country to what?
To Virginia.
He's inviting the generals and admirals to Virginia for a big meeting.
Well, I know. I love it. I mean, I think it's great. Let him be friendly. Let him be friendly with the generals and admirals from all over the world. Why is there something? No, but is there something wrong with the fact that we're getting along with the generals and admirals from all? Remember, I'm the president of peace. Isn't it nice that people are coming from all over the world to be with us?
It's not particularly unusual that generals who report to the Secretary of War and then to the President of the United States are coming to speak with the Secretary of War. It's actually not unusual at all, and I think it's odd that you guys have made it into such a big story.
I mean, you know, we're respected from all over the world as a military force. We're very respected. We have the strongest military anywhere in the world without question. We have the greatest equipment in the world, and a lot of generals want to be here, and they want to look at the—they're also going to be touring equipment sites. They're going to be talking about the newest weapons, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's great when generals and top people want to come to the United States to be with our now called Secretary of War. Does everybody like the name? I do.
And that, my dearies, was the incontinent autocrat confused about who's actually attending Anheuser-Dusch's gathering of the masses. Another senior moment caught on camera, direct from Shady Pines, formerly known as the Oval Office. Because if we're being honest, folks, it's no one outside of that regime that likes renaming the Department of Defense the Department of War. Mostly because it's giving impotent rage.
Feeling the effects of masculinity right now. I feel the testosterone. I want to go to war! I want a lightsaber! I'm a man! War!
And also because it never occurred to the moron who thought it was a good idea to have all of the U.S. generals, Canteen Boy, and Eric Stad all in one room at the same time, that this might be what our enemies consider a wet dream. But then again, no one ever accused the DUI hire, who recently knocked himself in the balls with a skateboard on national television, of ever being able to think things all the way through. Not when there's a chance to bathe in the spotlight while meandering back and forth on a stage in front of a studio audience and whoever's watching the live stream, am I right?
I need a photo opportunity. I want a shot of redemption.
Meanwhile, Fat Nixon, still thinking that foreign generals were coming to Quantico, Virginia, seemed pretty stoked at the idea of firing military generals on his way to mumble incoherent geezer speak to a room full of them.
So I'm going over, I'm going to be meeting with generals and with admirals and with leaders. And if I don't like somebody, I'm going to fire him right on the spot.
So I really don't know what's worse. The notion that elderly Julius thinks it's 2024 and he's currently on his way to the apprentice set, or that 77 million registered voters in this country are dumber than a box of shit. And another thing, did no one tell Dunscap Don that only people attending this televised meeting were ordered to do so and definitely were wondering why this bullshit waste of their time couldn't have been, I don't know, a Zoom call? Especially after having to sit through Mango Mussolini's pathetic excuse for a speech.
I've never walked into a room so silent before. This is very... Don't laugh. You're not allowed to do that. You know what? Just have a good time. And if you want to applaud, you applaud. And if you want to do anything you want, you can do anything you want. And if you don't like what I'm saying, you can leave the room. Of course, there goes your rank. There goes your future. Because we can't let people throw around that word. I call it the N-word. There are two N-words, and you can't use either of them. If it does get to use, we have more than anybody else. We have better. We have newer. America is under invasion from within. We're under invasion from within. No different than a foreign enemy, but more difficult in many ways because they don't wear uniforms. At least when they're wearing a uniform, you can take them out. These people don't have uniforms. But we are under invasion from within. We're stopping it very quickly. Very important mission. And I told Pete, we should use some of these dangerous cities as training grounds for our military, National Guard, but military, because we're going into Chicago very soon. That's a big city.
Well, there goes Chicago's east side. Or wherever that apartment building is that was recently invaded Call of Duty style by the icy Gestapo in the early morning hours, where they rappelled from Black Hawk helicopters in order to ransack every single apartment in the building while dragging out into the street zip-tied and naked children, only to be stuffed in U-Haul or budget vans until their parents could be kidnapped for allegedly being part of a Venezuelan gang. The worst part of this completely unnecessary and definitely traumatizing scene was that this happened to U.S.-born citizens. Black Americans, to be exact, just in case any of you were confused about where all of this is headed. And yet there is actually a sliver of hope to this 1940s Germany reboot America is being forced to reenact, and that is There is a massive GI joke running the show. For example, here is a mashup of the real American Zeros talk at the generals.
We became the woke department. No more identity months, DEI offices, dudes in dresses. No more climate change worship. No more division, distraction, or gender delusions. No more debris. As I've said before, and will say again, we are done with that shit. When it comes to any job that requires physical power to perform in combat, those physical standards must be high and gender neutral. If that means no women qualify for some combat jobs, so be it. We are overhauling an inspector general process, the IG, that has been weaponized, putting complainers, ideologues, and poor performers in the driver's seat. We're doing the same with the equal opportunity and military equal opportunity policies. No more frivolous complaints, no more anonymous complaints, no more repeat complainants, no more smearing reputations, no more endless waiting, no more legal limbo, no more sidetracking careers, no more walking on eggshells. The new War Department golden rule is this: do unto your unit as you would have done unto your own child's unit. Would you want him serving with fat or unfit or undertrained troops? Or alongside people who can't meet basic standards? Or in a unit where standards were lowered so certain types of troops could make it in? In a unit where leaders were promoted for reasons other than merit, performance, and warfighting? The answer is not just no, it's hell no. It's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon and leading commands around the country and the world. It's a bad look. It is bad, and it's not who we are. Today, at my direction, each service will ensure that every requirement for every combat MOS, for every designated combat arms position, returns to the highest male standard only. Leaders who have given decades to our great republic, at great sacrifice to yourselves and to your families. But if the words I'm speaking today are making your heart sink, then you should do the honorable thing and resign. We would thank you for your service. But I suspect, I know, the overwhelming majority of you feel the opposite. These words make your hearts full. You are hereby liberated to be an apolitical, hard-charging, no-nonsense, constitutional leader that you joined the military to be. As you have seen, and the media has obsessed over, I have fired a number of senior officers since taking over. The previous chairman, other members of the Joint Chiefs, combatant commanders, and other commanders. The rationale for me has been straightforward. It's nearly impossible to change a culture with the same people who helped create or even benefited from that culture, even if that culture was created by a previous president and previous secretary.
Because we are the War Department. Godspeed.
Room! Attention!
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
I was trying to hear if there was applause in that room.
Well, I'll save you the trouble. One general in the back of the audience was seen face-palming during Johnny Tucker's speech, and I think we all can relate. And probably the reason why no one clapped when Hennessy Excess basic frat bitch overhaul of the U.S. military was displayed, especially coming from a 45-year-old dude who can barely do a pull-up without whipping his body around as leverage, only to barely make it over the bar. But please, tell me again how reinstating hazing, making reporting rape and sexual assault more difficult, while banning beardos from serving is gonna make the military great again? Because based on the stoic reaction of all the U.S. military generals, I'm sure they were thinking,
shiver my timbers, shut up, man!
Meanwhile, back in the real world, that display of stupidity by General Gin and Tonic and the Moldy Orange was not lost on anyone who isn't a member of the Orange Cult. Take Pennsylvania Rep. Madeline Dean, who confronted Micro Johnson on a hot mic about the mental decline of his dear leader.
The president is unhinged. He is unwell.
What are you doing? A lot of folks on your side are too. I don't control.
Oh my, please. That performance in front of the generals, that
I didn't see it.
Is so dangerous. You know I serve on foreign affairs and appropriations. Yes. This is a collision of those two things. Our allies are looking elsewhere. Our enemies are laughing.
I just left
you
the
have a president who is, you have a president who is unwell.
Fuck yeah, the old man running this country is way beyond his expiration date. And that's a serious problem, perhaps, the 25th Amendment could solve. But that's never going to happen with the smallest Johnson to ever be speaker standing in the way. I mean, sure, you could probably just step over him, but that's not an optical illusion the Dems have the time to make right now, because they are really busy trying to stop 4 million Americans from losing their health care, while Republicans are all too willing to shut down the government until they get what they want, all while lying to the American public about what's really going on.
As you know, people who are here in the United States legally have never been eligible for the Obamacare subsidies, for Medicare, for Medicaid. So what exactly are you saying that they're trying to do when you talk about giving free health care to
them? I'm so glad you asked. Okay, so when we passed the One Big Beautiful Bill, the Working Families Tax Cut, we had Medicaid reforms in the bill to eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse. There were a lot of people on the program who were enrolled in the program who were never eligible to be there. Medicaid is intended for eligible U.S. citizens, not illegal aliens.
What you did was narrow the eligibility for certain people to get access to the ACA subsidies. What they want to do is undo the changes that Republicans made in that. But basically, wouldn't that only affect people who do have legal status, people who are refugee seekers here in the United States, asylum seekers? But you're saying they want to give free health care to people who are in the United States illegally.
That is exactly what the effect will be.
But when I looked at it, there's a little nuance, because it's they want to undo changes that y'all made, narrowing who is eligible to get that. Those are people who are refugee seekers, asylum seekers. They're not technically people who are here illegally, just cross the border.
And that, my dearies, is the truth. The Republicans are completely inept at governing, mostly because they are way too busy giving tax breaks to billionaires and removing regulations that protect Americans from corporations who really don't give a fuck about the safety of their products. And this obvious fact, since everyone can see what these assholes do when they control all three branches of government at the same time, is not lost on 6 out of 10 Americans polled who say they want Medicare for all, or at least not have 4 million people lose their health care while the rest of us see our premiums double and triple overnight, based on what we all know is a lie. Because the legal facts are, people who are in this country illegally cannot access Medicare and Medicaid thanks to a law passed in the long ago time of 1996, prohibiting undocumented migrants from accessing non-emergency Medicaid as well as coverage through the ACA. And that is still true to this day. What little Johnson and his hot pants wearing liars are failing to convince the majority of Americans is their fucked up idea that if you're not born on U.S. soil, you're not a real American and don't deserve health care. A racist concept 60% of Americans do not agree with, like any decent person would, especially when the alternatives to health care proposed by the Trump regime are AI conspiracies.
President Trump shares what is apparently an AI video of himself promoting fake medical technology, an artificially created video of a Fox News segment where an AI version of himself promoted a cure-all MedBed conspiracy. That video has now been deleted.
It features a rendering of the president speaking. You hear a version of his voice, and it's supposed to resemble a Fox News segment featuring his daughter-in-law, Lara Trump. So presumably the president knows he never actually uttered these words.
Breaking now, President Donald J. Trump has announced a historic new healthcare system. The launch of America's first MedBed hospitals and a national MedBed card for every citizen.
Every American will soon receive their own MedBed card. With it, you'll have guaranteed access to our new hospitals led by the top doctors in the nation, equipped with the most advanced technology in the world. These facilities are safe, modern, and designed to restore every citizen to full health and strength.
This idea has been popular in QAnon conspiracy theory circles for years, and it asserts that elites have access to secret healing technology that's been kept from the public.
Med beds are a conspiracy theory popular with QAnon people, in which there exist these magic beds that restore limbs and reverse aging and cure anything that befalls the human body, but they're only available to the rich and elite. And this, of course, is President Trump offering med beds to everyone. But it's a conspiracy theory and the whole thing's not true.
Yeah, well, that never stopped the fraud father before, so why is he going to start now? Although the AI video was taken down and the White House schmuckertary says it's all good now and never mind what her boss is doing at 3 a.m. taking a shit on social media, this all leads back to the premise I brought up at the beginning of the show, that Donnie Mensah is better suited for his retirement home in Florida, where he can cheat on golf over his first wife's dead body anytime he wants. Instead, we have a government shutdown because Republicans and Magalardo want to...
You hear? Congress just passed a bill legalizing murder if you're rich.
No, they didn't. Oh, my God, they did.
What?
Hold on. Just because it passed the House doesn't mean the Senate...
Really, Diane?
Okay, but the president could still veto...
Really, Diane?
Seriously, I mean, what else do you call kicking documented migrants off of Medicaid and Medicare because they're not American-born citizens? That's just playing a long game with people's lives because eventually, folks, we all get sick. But that's not the only group of people living in the United States that Payless Putin wants to see lose their healthcare coverage.
Midnight hit and the government is shut down. Republicans say Democrats are blocking a clean funding bill. Democrats argue Republicans are walking away from the table.
Speaker Johnson sent his people home. He wants a shutdown. He doesn't want to negotiate.
Today is a voting day. Or at least it was scheduled to be a voting day, except for that Mike Johnson canceled votes. All right, we're coming up on the door that we normally walk into for votes. Let's see if it's open. Locked out. All right, well, we had to use the side door to get in, but we are officially inside the building. If the house was open, these doors would be open. And here we are at the entrance to the House of Representatives. Not a single soul. It's locked because Republicans canceled votes and didn't show up for work tonight because they would rather see the government shut down than negotiate a bipartisan deal to save your health care.
Democrats are dug in on opposing anything that cuts health care for millions of Americans, while the Trump White House is threatening mass firings if the government shuts down.
Because we are in a government shutdown, we are going to have to lay some people off if the shutdown continues. If this thing drags on for another few days or, God forbid, another few weeks, we are going to have to lay people off. We're going to have to save money in some places so that essential services don't get turned off in other places. That is the reality.
Well, it provides an opportunity to downsize the government on priorities and policies and personnel that they deem to be non-essential.
You're going to talk to Russ Bode. Last week, he sent a memo directing agencies to start drafting plans.
Yeah, that's
to
his
do
job.
Just this.
If the authority is there and he sees a program that is wasting taxpayer dollars.
We can do things during the shutdown that are irreversible, that are bad for them and irreversible by them, like cutting vast numbers of people out, cutting things that they like, cutting programs that they like. We can do things medically and other ways, including benefits. We can cut large numbers of people out. We don't want to do that, but we don't want fraud, waste, and abuse.
Oh, so this is about waste, fraud, and abuse, and totally not about the opportunity to fire thousands of people whose health insurance is tied to the jobs that they will be losing. Not to mention, less people in the insurance marketplace means premiums for existing customers will skyrocket at the end of this year. You know, causing the problem Democrats are trying to avoid by refusing to give their approval to the Trump regime's mission to make the majority of Americans sick and dying again. Because apparently...
Okay, the rule book's been torn up now, and America is wiping its nasty ass with it!
And while all of this is going on, with millions of U.S. citizens and documented migrants' healthcare being ripped away, and the homosexual threatening to increase the number of unemployed Americans by the tens of thousands, and Schittler wanting his lumpy ass engraved on a newly minted $1 coin, y'all forgot about Jeff. The good news is, the squishiest Wolverine from Texas hasn't.
Senator Booker also said, we should have bipartisan agreement. I think that's a great idea. We should have bipartisan agreement. How about we all come together and say, let's stop murders? How about we all come together and say, let's stop rapes? How about we all come together and say, let's stop attacking pedophiles?
Oh, man, you lost me at that whole stop attacking pedophiles comment, because that's kind of my thing. And also, who the fuck says that? Unless there's a chance Canadian-born but somehow eligible to be a U.S. Senator Rafael Eduardo Cruz has something that he would like to share with the class regarding Jeffrey Epstein, huh? Because it looks like the Lilliputian speaking for the House definitely has something to hide.
Push to force a vote in the House of Representatives to release the FBI's Epstein files. It needs just one more signature. And there is a new Democratic member who just won a special election in Arizona, and she says she will sign that petition, but she hasn't been sworn in yet because House Republican leaders canceled the chamber's session this week ahead of that looming government shutdown.
Here in D.C., and am I sworn in yet? No. Do I know when I'm going to get sworn in? No. Speaker Johnson has left the building. And unfortunately, what that means for us is Southern Arizona does not have a voice here to advocate for you. You also don't have services in district. I need to get sworn in order for that to happen. Every day that I am here without being sworn in, Southern Arizona loses. Reach out to Speaker Johnson. Let him know that I need to get sworn in.
That is a great idea, and I'm sure a lot of you listening would love to give Minute Johnson a piece of your minds, myself included. Unfortunately, we can't, because Mikey sent himself and the entire house home for another week's worth of paid vacation. And not a minute too soon, because otherwise he would have to swear in a new representative from Arizona who's excited to be the 218th signature on the discharge petition to release the Epstein files. Something 84% of Americans really, really want, at least according to the latest CBS poll. Especially now that former hedge fund manager and next door neighbor to Epstein from 1998 to 2018, before his death, Mr. Howard Lutnick, just said this in an interview with the New York Post.
Breaking with the FBI and Department of Justice, one of President Trump's cabinet secretaries, claiming that high-profile associates of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein not only knew of his behavior, but some even participated. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, Epstein's former neighbor, recounting his alleged experience with the deceased billionaire to the New York Post.
I say to him, massage table in the middle of your house? How often do you have a massage? And he says, every day. And then he like gets like weirdly close to me.
Ooh.
And he says, and the right kind of massage.
So how come Bill Gates and all these other people could hang around him and not see what you saw? Or did they see it and ignore it? Or
no, they participated.
Right.
That's what his MO was, you know, get a massage. And what happened in that massage room, I assume was on video. This guy was the greatest blackmailer ever. Blackmailed people. That's how he had money.
Saying he believes Epstein may have traded alleged blackmail videos for a lesser prison sentence during his first criminal case in 2008.
I assume way back when they traded those videos in exchange for him getting that 18-month sentence.
His allegations in stark contrast to what FBI Director Kash Patel testified to last month.
Who, if anyone, did Epstein traffic these young women to besides himself?
Himself. There is no credible information. None. If there were, I would bring the case yesterday. that he trafficked to other individuals.
Well, the new documents released by the Dems on the Oversight Committee determined that was a lie. We found out last week that not only Bill Gates is in the Epstein files, but also three-shirt-wearing and former Trump chief of staff Steve Bannon. And then there's the tech bro billionaire who bankrolled J.D. Vance's career and currently owns the latest spyware surveilling all of you right now, Mr. Peter Thiel. Oh, and let's not forget about the hiring dipshit from South Africa, who's really good with those vote counting machines and designed the first ever four-wheel representation of incel culture, Mr. Phony Stark. Those names, and I'm sure many, many more, are in the Epstein files that Scambondi lost several months back. Those same files Dems have proven Gonzo Patel is lying about when he says no one but Jeff's name is in them. And if we're being honest, fucking Mike sending the House on vacation twice to avoid swearing in a duly elected member of Congress who is all about everyone seeing who else's name pops up in the Epstein files just proves to me that
Trump is on the Epstein list. Yes, he is. Trump is on the Epstein list. Yes, he is. They can shred the docs, but the truth still exists. Trump is on the Epstein list. Yes, he is.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show, This Week Again, on social media platforms such as Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, and Facebook. We are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. It's a dear for now.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
These are difficult times. And if you believe in justice, progress, and democracy, the news you read and listen to can be pretty depressing. And that's why there's a new podcast called Good News for Lefties and America. Every day it features positive news stories for progressive listeners. Because no matter how disturbing the headlines might be, there's always hope we can build on for a better tomorrow. Good News for Lefties and America. Listen on this platform at goodnewsforlefties.com or wherever podcasts are heard.